And Kyle just said the hell with you guys and left. He was just hanging out, talking, and all of a sudden, you know what? I'm out.
I'm gone,
I don't deal with you idiots anymore. Hard to blame him.
The bee's like that.
Jordan Love, this is interesting. Return to practice.
Yeah, they said he's practiced two straight days, right?
He did. Matt LaFleur said today, he didn't really acknowledge what Jordan Love did during practice, but said today he's going to go into Sunday's game questionable. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know Matt LaFleur very well. I feel like they're getting a kick out of this. It looks like they're doing this all for fun. I don't know if Jordan's healthy or he's not, or if they really plan on playing him or they don't. I think they're working a little bit right here, but I can't tell.
I think I would kind of hope they're working. I think it'd be crazy for him to play this week.
But why?
Number one, it's early in the season. Number two,
I don't know that they have games to play with.
No disrespect. I don't know if you need Jordan Love to beat the Titans. I know it's a road game. Will Levis is on the other side. Yeah. I would take my chance with giving him another week as opposed to rushing him back this week against the
I feel like it says something about the North that we were talking about. You and Jesse really kind of brought this up when we were talking about competitive divisions. We were talking about the South. It says something about the NFC North. It's like, I don't know. Like you said, maybe it was more about the Titans than it necessarily was the Packers, but it does speak to the We could probably beat the Titans. We don't want to give one up to the Titans, though.
Very true.
Sure we're in the best spot.
Very true. Very true. It's tough to say this in the NFL with the games meaning so much all the time, but I just feel this early in the season, I'd try to get that one more week.
I'd
try to get that one more week with any of these
just
guys.
The season's
with
so
Jordan
short,
Love,
though.
Debo, Christian McCaffrey, all these like George Kittle. Like I don't think George Kittle should play. I'm going to give him another week.
Is that because but wait, is that because it's the Rams? Like if they were playing Arizona, would you feel the same?
No. It's not because they're playing the Rams. I would feel the same.
Okay.
It's just early and especially when you talk about the 49ers, to a certain degree, I need all these guys healthy and ready to go for the second half of the season. That's when we're going to make our push.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to overextend these guys, pushing them to get back for week three and week four.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Like I don't want to ever be like, well, if you lose, it's okay. Nah, because they all do matter. But I don't need them at 70% in week three.
Mm-hmm.
If it means they're going to stay 70% to 80% though, because they didn't get the rest. If I can take 2 weeks and get them a rest and make sure or give me the better chance to be close to 100% in week 11, then that's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going. And that's how I feel about Jordan Love and the Packers. Nothing's guaranteed. You might mess around and lose to the Titans.
No, I got you. And that's why I wonder if the other side of that coin is Packers, we're going to hold Jordan Love out. We just give him another week.
Mm-hmm.
Lose to the Titans. Season progresses, maybe you drop a couple of tough games, maybe you win some tough games, whatever, and you get to week 18, and all of a sudden that game is everything.
Yeah,
in a competitive conference, but a competitive division.
Yeah,
but of course, no, we don't know.
And my thought would be, if I get to week 18 and he in the game means everything, I'm gambling or hoping I got him at 100%.
Sure,
in that one. And we can go out.
Chances of that, Phil. It's not even realistic to have a player at 100%. Sure.
Compared to,
I guess.
Like, the knee just never really responds.
Yeah.
And he's 70% of himself. He can't really scramble the way.
You don't want them fighting through to get the next. You don't want them fighting to get through the next 16 weeks.
Exactly.
I got you.
That's, in four words, that's that's what I've been trying to say for 5 minutes.
That's good. We got 4 hours to fill, buddy. It's fine. What's the panic meter if the 49ers lose this weekend?
Very low. Very low. If the panic meter has a 0 to 10, I'd be a 1. I'd be a 1 because the health issue. that's more of a concern than winning or losing this game, if that makes any sense. I want these guys. I want to know that these guys are coming back first and foremost. Christian McCaffrey, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. There's a world where this just don't get right.
Facts.
Or
yeah.
All of a sudden, he's going to have to go in for surgery. Like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I want to know that he gets back. Debo, Kittle, even Traverius, even if he plays, I want them to get right. This game doesn't bother me as much as maybe next week. Say they lose this game. They go 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
This one on the following Sunday.
And that's Seattle?
New England.
New England, I'm sorry.
New England at home. That's the one I need.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I need that one regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta win that game. Regardless of what happens today.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens today. Mm-hmm. If you win on Sunday, you get an opportunity to get on the good foot. You need to be 3-1. If you lose, obviously you don't want to go 1-3 and have a loss to New England on there. So that game next week is more something that tests where you're at than this game, in my opinion.
Interesting. It's, the Patriots are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Drake May a little bit last night. And this is the problem we were talking about earlier this week manifesting itself. Like, the Patriots are bad. And whatever the reason was for not playing Drake May, whether it was protecting Drake May or maybe they didn't feel like Drake May was ready, you put Jacoby Brissett out there and it looks awful. Mm. And you're trying to figure something out, so you go back to the kid because you feel like he's your long-term solution. Mm-hmm. And he goes out there and he's getting murdered by a defense that's really good. And it's a vicious circle.
Do you think that was what that was last night? I didn't look at that as that. I looked at it as garbage time. Let's get him in the game.
For sure. Picks. That's absolutely what I think it was.
Okay.
And it was terrible. It was garbage. It was.
You're right.
If it was garbage time for everybody, he was awful.
Mm-hmm.
But was he awful because they couldn't protect him? Or was he awful because he's not good?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the decisions that these general managers, coaches at these organizations have to figure out with these young quarterbacks. Drake May, I have no idea. Like, I just do not know if this young man is a good quarterback or not. I feel like, and you and I disagree, I feel like Caleb Williams has showed a lot that's like, I see it. Does he need to get better at certain things? Sure, but I see the tools of a potentially really, really good quarterback. You know, we talked about our miscalculation with Josh Rosen in the past. Like, Josh Rosen landed on a really bad team. He never seemed to get his footing. Maybe he was a bad quarterback. Like, it's just a microscopically thin line to determine whether the problem is us or the problem is him. And that's what organizations have to ask themselves. And watching last night, I think y'all got a host of problems.
Man, tough. And even as bad as Jacoby Brissett looked for the majority of that game, I don't even know how this is possible. It was at halftime, he was 7 of 10 for 36
crazy.
Yards. How does that happen?
Absolutely crazy.
How do you have 7 completions for 36 yards? That's crazy.
Well, Drake May's garbage timeline wasn't much different.
What was those numbers?
I got it for you right here. I know there's something along those same lines. Drake May, he was 4 of 8. He had 22 yards.
Come on, man.
He was 4 of 8.
But I'll even say this. So you kind of watch the game, right?
It's like 5 and some change. I'm not even good at math, and I know that. On passes.
That's awful.
Oh.
But you watched a lot of the game too, and Brissett was bad. Like, that was bad to watch.
Yeah.
It didn't look like Drake May, right? Like, at the very least, like, he was like, he could see what was going on in the pocket. He knew when to get out. It felt like as soon as Drake May, and it's the same offensive line.
I'm sorry.
As soon as Drake May snapped the ball, there were 4 guys in the backfield.
He didn't look like a professional football player.
Drake or Jacoby?
Drake.
Drake. Say Drake. It looked rough.
Why do
man.
I hate everybody named Drake? I don't understand. I don't hate Drake, man. I just don't know. I just don't understand.
It looked different though, right? And we all say Brissette was bad, and even Drake May's performance looked different and crazier than
yeah, it was
than Jacoby Brissett's.
It was bizarre. It was really. It's like in Gerard Mayo was like, yeah, these guys are competing for a job. I don't think Gerard Mayo knows what to do. He's probably looking at, I forgot their general manager's name. He's probably looking at everybody like, what do you want me to do? Yeah. I don't have an offensive line that can protect the veteran quarterback. I sure as hell don't have an offensive line that can protect. Because we talk about if the difference between Andy Dalton and Bryce Young is that, then your offensive line has to protect the rookie quarterback for that much more.
And they can't do
it. And that's an eternity sometimes.
Yeah, they can't do it.
They can't. They're barely good enough to protect the veteran quarterback. I'd argue that they're not,
right,
by the way.
Right.
They're really not equipped to protect a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback.
That's why I wouldn't play Drake May. And I don't know
how good
he is or not, but I would not play him in this situation.
But you would almost have to you'd have to sign another quarterback. And pull Drake aside, like, bro, you're not playing. We can't.
Why you gotta sign another quarterback?
Who's
Jacoby will be out there. I mean,
yeah, he might get killed too.
That's not funny.
It's not. But you watch him yesterday. Like, how many times? I'll pull up the numbers from. How many times did he get pressured yesterday?
Probably 20.
We'll come back. We'll get back to the 49ers. Our man Eddie Gonzalez is going to be here.
Talking to some Raiders when he come in here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
a possible 2-1 Raiders.
Cash Caraway makes its return here to the radio. It hit the commercial break last week, but we're bringing that back here. Some stuff to talk college-wise. I want to get back to Shohei's performance last night and what an interesting juxtaposition that was with what we saw in Phoenix. So let's have some fun, man. Phone lines are open for you. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. Take advantage of the free nutritionist consultation that they have set up specifically for you. Take advantage of the free macro calculator to help you determine what types of things you should eat throughout the day to help better your fitness, to help better your wellness. This is all built for us. It's literally in the website name, trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. It is built for us. It even has a link to maptrition.com where you could go pick up all the supplements. Greg hit me yesterday. He said those creatine gummies that everybody was asking about last week when he was here. He said, well, they were asking about creatine. He got them made in gummies. They're in stock. I'm going to go pick them up this week. Can't wait to try them out and give you my thoughts on them. So head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320 and come back with us here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN1320. Yeah, Glow. I think your love for Glorilla has just kind of transferred over to me.
Hey, man.
I get a kick out of Glow.
Glow is hilarious. Like you said, she's thick as hell.
What if she shows up in NXT to feud with Sexy Red?
Be must watch TV.
In fact,
be must watch TV. And then Tyrese Halliburton breaks him up.
Oh, lucky Tyrese.
Special guest referee, Tyrese Halliburton.
So I think I read something that Shawn Michaels loves him. Just absolutely loves him.
That is so dope for Tyrese Halliburton. And I think it's dope because he's a real wrestling fan. So you get these legends giving you the opportunity and then loving what you do.
Yeah.
I'd be over the moon. Yeah, that's cool.
That's dope. We opened today, obviously. Oh, we haven't talked about Joe yet. We'll get to Joel Embiid's very hefty 3-year contract extension that he got with the Philadelphia 76ers here as the day rolls along. We'll talk more 49ers again. Kyle Shanahan set to talk in about 15 minutes. Anything noteworthy, of course, we'll catch you up on it as soon as it happens. I believe Tylenol Funga is going to make his debut on Sunday.
Tig, as they call him. I don't know why they call him Tig, but.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, that's what Kyle called. He's like, yeah, Tig came back.
Did we already mention that George Kittle wasn't at practice today?
Yeah, Kyle caught that. I didn't see that, but Kyle caught it. Yeah. Yeah, he was not out there when the media was available to watch practice. However, Charvarius Ward and Nick Bosa both were. One little thing to watch in Sunday's game versus the Rams. Six players in NFL history have started the season with three straight 100-yard games and a touchdown. J.K. Dobbins and Jordan Mason could be number seven and eight.
Wow. Jordan Mason, he's had a fantastic first two games, man.
He has. He I tried to memorize the other six, but I think I'm going to fall short. It was Jim Brown, O.J. Simpson, Emmitt Smith.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm DeMarco Murray. Maybe Curtis Martin. Oh, and Dalvin Cook. That's who it was. So Jordan Mason and J.K. Dobbins can join that list this week.
Kyle Madsen was talking about, you know, trying to give a couple of different looks this week to the Rams with Jordan Mason, where he's not just a running back. Like, get him out there, split him wide, maybe a screen pass or something like that. I think that would be beneficial. You know, even if it doesn't net much of a positive yardage type deal, you got to give a different look. You got to give them thinking about something different. And so you could help preserve Jordan Mason. You know what I mean? Like, because if they just know if he's in the backfield, they're lining up for a run, or he's going to be in for pass pro, that alone will let the defense key in on him and wear him down as the game goes along and as the first half of the season goes along. So just give them different looks, give them different things that they got to worry about. Hell, if he's in the game, maybe he doesn't get touched. You know what I mean? Maybe he doesn't have to either run the ball or pass pro. He can just go out there and run a little out route and essentially take the play without getting tackled or something like that. So I like that idea, and I hope Kyle incorporates that.
Yeah, me too. We'll obviously talk a lot more about the San Francisco 49ers, and if Kyle Shanahan gives us any breaking news, we will pass it along to you. The big story in sports last night was Shohei Ohtani and the phenomenal performance that he had to close out his 50-50 season, or didn't close out, but it put a cap on. There's still like nine games left. 60-60 isn't a ridiculous thought.
He plays the Giants.
It
could happen.
All right. It's not a ridiculous thought, but he's already the first ever 50-50 player, and he did it in just such emphatic fashion. I think I told you when he was like, he just hit another one. It felt like Kobe scoring 60 in his final game. But it's like, okay, well, this isn't the final game of Shohei's career. It's not even the final game of the season. It was just the, you know, for Kobe, that 60 was the ultimate, like, exclamation point. It was the perfect end to his incredible career. That game last night from Shohei Ohtani was the perfect exclamation point to a historic season, and perfect to the conversation of, is he already one of the greatest players we've ever seen?
That answer is yes.
And I just think it's incredible that we've lived through like so many amazing moments in sports. And I feel like in our lifetime, you know, from Jesse up to me, Jesse being the youngest, me being the oldest, we've had the opportunity to see some of the greatest sports moments, I think, that have ever been produced. Not to crack jokes about like our Jim Thorpe conversation or whether Wilt Chamberlain actually scored 100 or not. But we've lived through the dominance of people like Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt. We've lived through the dominance of the likes of Serena Williams and Tiger Woods. We've lived through the Michael Jordan era into Kobe Bryant, into the LeBron James era. We've witnessed Shaquille O'Neal, perhaps the most dominant big man since Wilt Chamberlain, in an entirely different game, you know, than it was back then. We saw Diana Taurasi potentially play her last game on her home floor of Phoenix last night as they head out to Minnesota to start the playoffs, which they're going to be great underdogs. I mean, I think Phoenix is barely maybe just below a 500 team at this point, or maybe barely just above. And Minnesota's they were a dog Like they were a two seed and a comfortable two seed all year. And thinking about Diana, and she's 42 years old, what she did at UConn through her WNBA career, if she started her career today rather than 20 years ago, Diana would be one of the biggest stars in professional sports. Yeah. And she was already a massive star. But, you know, 10 years ago, it was always, but it's the WNBA. Mm-hmm. That's not a thing anymore. Diana starts her career today. She's mentioned with the likes of, you know, the LeBrons, the Stephs, like those guys. If she's playing in this version of the WNBA, she's one of the biggest names in professional sports, period. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't help but get wrapped up in the, because we're still really early in the Shohei Ohtani thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever Shohei Ohtani is going to wind up being, we're still at the very, very beginning of it. We have so many great years ahead of us, whether we're Giants fans or A's fans, or like I think all of us here, we're sports fans, mm-hmm. and we can appreciate greatness. What we're seeing from Shohei Ohtani is greatness. Mm-hmm. What we've seen from Diana Taurasi is greatness. And obviously I'm a Diana Taurasi fan, a huge Diana Taurasi fan. So getting wrapped up in the emotion of that game, and just thinking about, man, we're just at the beginning of Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. It was an interesting little bookend to the sports day, especially man. Because Diana allowed me to tune away from Aaron Rodgers. I don't have to listen to that crap anymore.
Man, for me, off the top of my head, I'd really have to like kind of think about this to make sure I to make sure I got everybody squared away correctly. It's Bonds, it's Griffey, it's Pujols, and it's Shohei Ohtani. Those are the best players I've ever seen play baseball. And you guys let me know in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, tap in on the Elk Grove Kia phone line. Mm-hmm. Let me know if I'm missing something. But those four right there, I've never seen better baseball players than those four. Mm-hmm. That is the Mount Rushmore of baseball players for me.
Can I ask, doesn't it, leading the witness, does it feel different with Shohei? For me, I'll speak for me, being a little bit more of a casual than you are. This feels different. And no one can ever make an argument for me that at least at this point in time in 2024, that Barry Bonds isn't the greatest baseball player. Mm-hmm. Either it's of all time or certainly of this generation. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing with Shohei feels so different.
Yeah.
It feels needle moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like baseball was bigger when Bonds was with the Pirates, and then through you know, his run with the Giants, I feel like baseball was a little bit bigger than it is now. Mm-hmm. And Shohei is, whether he's attracting more people to it, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he is creating a front page, a push notification, a top story, mm-hmm. baseball story, every time he steps on the field.
Yeah, no, he's box office, as we like to say. In the chat, people are saying Mike Trout. That's a good one. When Mike Trout was cooking, it was special. So he's up there. A-Rod, they say in the chat as well. A-Rod was sensational.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
He was sensational. Mm-hmm. And the thing, maybe I'm a little bit of a snob.
Sensational.
Maybe I'm a little bit of a snob about this. But the thing that separates Shohei from those other guys, maybe not so much Albert Pujols, but the Bonds, Griffey's, A-Rod's, and Trout's, is they were good on both sides of the field. And that's the only hang-up that I have. But Ohtani is, like you said, he is.
But
it seems so easy for him. It seems so easy.
For me, that almost magnifies it like a little bit more. Like, Shohei literally doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. It's like if to me, Shohei feels like, because this always makes sense, Shohei feels like if Roman Reigns didn't cut a promo for 4 years and was still the guy, never said a word, mm-hmm. but was the one, mm-hmm. that makes it more impressive. Mm-hmm. You're getting people to react that way. Like, Shohei's smile, like, Shohei's mannerisms, his interactions with his teammates, his reaction to, I don't even know if it was 50. It might have been 51. I don't know. He hit so many freaking home runs yesterday. I don't know which reaction I was watching. But it was like he has a love for baseball, which feels really important. And he has a love for his teammates, and his teammates reciprocate that love. Mm-hmm. And that's all done, to stick with the wrestling analogy, without cutting a promo. Mm. And to me, those types of things, you talk about playing both sides of the field, those types of things manifest it a little bit more. Mm. Or not magnify, no, not manifest it, magnify it a little bit more. Like with more with Ken Griffey, at least in my head, I can think of the, you know, the catch over the wall and the giant smile as he's running back in. Right. Like, I can think of the plays in the field. Like with Shohei, like, you're just thinking about what he's doing at the plate. You're thinking about what he's doing on the bases. You're just thinking about the stuff he does on the offensive end. And to me, that's just a kind of an added dimension of that makes it even more impressive to me rather than taking away from it.
Yeah, it's just different. It's its own thing. Like what he does, and Drew down in the Matthews Master Shuttyhouse says, what if Ohtani comes out as a dominant pitcher again next year? That's another element to the story that's phenomenal. Like, that makes him just as phenomenal with what he does. To me, maybe it's just a personal preference. That's all. Mm-hmm. It's just a personal preference. Like you said, I got Griffey hitting the home runs. I got him climbing the wall to make a catch.
And the most beautiful swing, I think, in the history of baseball.
Yeah, I'd go with that, too. And that resonates for me, but come on, man. Ohtani, what he's doing, I don't care if he isn't playing the field or not, what he's doing at the plate and on the base paths, it's special. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely special to watch, man. And this is no shade at old Eli, but this will be somebody that I put Ryan's kid on my lap and said, "Grandpa saw Shohei." This Jack Carrillo guy that you're talking about? Nah, I saw Shohei. Yeah. I saw Shohei. No, I saw Barry Bonds. I saw Ken Griffey. He's in that category.
That was definitely Eli shade, but I understand what you're saying.
I agree with my guy, Good Kid, Dad City. The Dodgers don't deserve him.
He said the Dodgers, so maybe he just meant one specific person.
I fixed it for him.
Okay. I got you. No, I understand that. I'll be honest, though. I'd rather he be with the Dodgers than the Angels.
No.
I know. I understand. It's fine. It's okay. It's fine.
He's amazing, though.
The thought of Grandpa Casey did get a chuckle out of some
people. Casey. Now we know that picture don't hit because I won't even have no hair on the side.
No, that's true. Oh, that would be great if you just got older and grew the sides out. That would just be terrific.
Just grandpa terrific. Casey. That is funny.
I'll long be dead by the time Casey's a grandpa. What happened, bro? You know I killed D'Lo. You know that, right? Just he stormed off in a brown truck and never heard from again.
So, Ohtani, my prediction is he gets
to 60 of one of them?
He might get to 60 of stolen bases because it seems like he's always on base and they just let him run the bases. Not saying it like that, but they don't ever pitch out. They don't ever throw over to first, nothing. He just gets on first and runs to second.
That pitch that he hit, I don't even know which one it was. I'm so sorry. I think it was 50. It was just like this. It was lobbed to him.
Off the top of my head, I think it was a position player pitching at that point.
Well, it was. It ended 20-4, so I guess it doesn't matter.
It was a position player. Here's a good question from Charismatic Enigma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bond's still the only player, 500. Does Ohtani get those numbers?
Sure. I mean, why not?
I think he's got the best chance of anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, why not?
Mm. 500.
Bonds' number. I feel the need. Every time this happens, I just feel the need to point out Bonds' numbers are stupid and, like, unmatched in virtually every category. They're completely unmatched.
Yeah. I think, Bonds almost, I don't think he got, I know he didn't get there because I would have heard of it. But didn't I hear say he was like close to 600, 600? He's the only 500, 500. And then they were, I think somebody said he was close to 600, 600 or something like that. But Ohtani, I think Ohtani can get there. I think he absolutely can.
Let's see where Shohei is at right now. Look up Barry and see how close Barry came.
I got you.
To that number. Shohei is currently at...
Oh, Barry was far away from it. He barely got 500 stolen bases.
Shohei is currently at 222 home runs, and 137 stolen bases.
And he's 20, he's still in his 20s, right?
He's 29 years old.
29.
Yeah, he's 29 years old. His numbers.
A little late in the game. I don't know if he can get
that. Well, his numbers since 2021, without having Barry's in front of me, Barry's numbers are very interesting because it's 30-plus, 40-plus home runs every year. Mm-hmm. He cracks 50 once for the historic season, but it's just a consistent barrage of 30, 40-plus home runs. Shohei, since 2021, is at 46, 34, 44, 51. That's very reminiscent of what Barry did.
The home runs, I think he obviously can get. The stolen base, like, for lack of a better term,
is a little bit different.
Wouldn't, and I think he'll play for a longer time than this, but wouldn't he have to go 50-50 for like the next seven seasons to get that?
The
math might be a little off.
Yeah, it's like, it's pretty damn close. 350, that would put him at, it'd put him at like 487, I think, in the scenario
if
you
he
just
went
presented.
50-50.
But that's he'd be 36. He'd be 36 years old at that point, 36 or 38, or 36 or 37, excuse me, at that point in his career.
Mm.
And he'd be at four, in that exact scenario you just presented, he'd be at like 487, I think, trying to do the math real quick. 35,
stolen bases, right?
Yeah.
I think he's going to get to 500. I think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to do 50-50 every year, but I don't see any reason why he's not going to be anywhere between 35 and 50 stolen bases every year.
Bro has 120 RBIs this year and 123 runs. Let's get Titus in here. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Titus, what's happening, baby?
Hey, what's up, man? Just tapping in with y'all, saying what's up.
Yes, sir. One of the real brothers of Sacramento.
You already know it. I'm a represent. Hey, I like your top three, KC, on that. But I feel like now at least check the stats before you feel me. Just shut me down on that Pujols. I know you don't got Ricky Henderson better than him.
I don't think he's better, but Ricky is one of the great players I've ever seen. Rick, I love Ricky. That wasn't meant as any shade to Ricky at all, because Ricky is the truth. But I feel like Pujols was a little better
player.
He was a better all around player, but I think Pujols was better. Pujols was a better hitter.
Better hitter.
Yeah.
Pujols is a better hitter.
Yeah.
Ricky Henderson.
Yeah.
Ricky Henderson he leads off.
I know.
He was played 22, 23 years. You got to check his stats.
I think Ricky might still be playing, if we're being honest.
Ricky, I know he can still
Ricky,
play.
Ricky somewhere.
Titus, I'm not, no shade to Ricky. No shade to Ricky.
You sure Albert Pujols is a better hitter than Ricky?
Yeah, Albert Pujols, he's one of the best hitters of all time.
One of the best power hitters, or just hitters, period?
Hitters, period.
Okay.
Albert Pujols, what the hell do I know? Albert Pujols was the truth.
Okay.
Not saying he wasn't, but he was the truth. One of the funny thing about Very. And this don't take nothing away from Shohei. But I'm looking at Shohei and his walks in his career. 37, 33, 22, 96, 72, 91, 77. That's his walks.
Hey, who was that for? Sorry?
Shohei. We'll start in 92.
Oh, no. This is not a good exercise.
127, 126, 74, 120, 151, 145, 130, 73, 117, 177, 198, ridiculous. 148, 232.
Jesus Christ, man.
He was 232 times. And then nine, I got hurt that year, I guess. And then 115 and 132. Simply did not pitch to this man. That's crazy. That is insane. I think Shohei should start getting the same treatment. Walk him.
Barry Bonds has the number one season with the most walks, number two, number three, and number nine.
232 is crazy.
That's nuts.
That is crazy.
The closest person not named Barry Bonds to 232 is Brother Babe in 1923.
Couldn't pitch to him.
With 170 walks. Mark McGwire had 162, as did Ted Williams. Ted Williams occupies space. He had 162 twice, and then 157. So his name is on this list. Oh, there's Barry again, in 14th. Oh, there's Barry again in 20th. Incredible,
Titus. I love rookie. I'm looking, just a quick look, I'm looking at the batting averages. It's not really close between him and Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
Albert Pujols was like 319, 314 and above for like his first 11 seasons.
Goodness.
He was the truth.
Goodness. We'll come back. We'll shift our attention. We'll shift our attention to some money.
Hey.
Cash Caraway on the way. We'll get back to the NFL. Kyle Shanahan said to speak soon. We'll pass along anything that he says. It's Dealing with KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino, Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320.
Big Z.
You all talked out for today? This big time radio.
No, talked out. No, we just had an early morning. That's
big
all.
Big time radio show host.
No, we had an early morning.
we gonna be here giving you that real quick. I'm just texting the homies real quick. That's all. Just texting the homies. So, yeah, we're going to be here. We got Cash Caraway coming up, all this other stuff. So, you know, we're here. Okay. I just text you. I just let
you. Oh, you text me?
Yeah.
Oh.
You are the homie. Jesse is the homie. You know, we're here.
Oh, okay. No problem. All right. It's all good. Just keep it moving.
Let's get back.
No, don't mind me. I'm just looking for the button. Jesus Christ, where did I put it? Here it is. God bless it.
It's showtime.
Great cash, homie.
Come on, man. Cash Caraway. Back at it again. Last week, got back on the good foot. Because 2 weeks ago, I got slapped around, man. 0-3 2 weeks ago. But last week, 2-1. And if it wasn't for that, your boy, Bill O'Brien, trying to be frisky
out here.
Yeah, your boy, B.O.B. out here. Oh, I got Boston College playing hard and playing tough out here and being competitive. Like, stop, bro. You should have lost by 14 or more to Missouri. You had a little garbage touchdown late, and that kind of messed it up.
I'm sorry, what does that have to do with me?
That's your boy, B.O.B. That's your boy. If it wasn't for that,
one of the great at-home days when Bill O'Brien got fired. I don't think I had ever celebrated the firing of a coach that has nothing to do with nothing like I did Bill O'Brien.
But, awful coach. But other than that, we was cooking. I gave you, people was laughing. They thought it was crazy. They was like, oh, that ain't no good. I gave you Colorado over Colorado State, my boy Shador, my boy Travis Hunter. They're not great. The teams aren't great. They better than Colorado State, and they proved that. I gave you that one. And then, I mean, everybody beating the hell out of Florida. I told you Texas A&M was going to do what they were going to do. We went 2-1 last week.
Okay.
This week, we're going to try and stay on the good foot. Humble hearts. Humble hearts, you know.
Yeah.
Week to week, anything can happen. You never
know. Yeah.
We're going to stay on the good foot.
Yeah.
And we're going to start off. I hate to do this.
Uh-huh.
I do hate to do this, but there's money to be made.
Okay.
We're going to start out on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And we got Stanford going to the Carrier Dome, playing right, I guess it's under Jim Boeheim Court, and going to Syracuse. Well, the dome is the Carrier Dome.
Uh-huh.
The court that Syracuse basketball plays on is the Jim Boeheim Court. So I don't know if maybe they removed the court, put the turf on there, whatever the case may be. Maybe they have one of those fancy systems like the Raiders where they just put the field on a track and just put it right over the court.
I think the Cardinals have one, too.
They do.
Roll it out.
I don't know if they do it
for sunshine and then roll it back.
I wonder if they still do it because now the apartments are in the way. It was easy to do when the apartments weren't there. I don't know what happens now.
Where's the apartments?
We're in the end zone.
Oh, will you stop it, for God's sakes. Those are suites.
Those are the condos. Jesse knows. I was just saying it there. Those are condos.
Multi-level suite for rich people like you.
Either way, Stanford's going to the Carrier Dome, taking on Syracuse. Syracuse is a 9-point favorite. Syracuse is going to beat Stanford by 2+ touchdowns. All right, so go ahead and do that. That's tonight. If you want to get some early action in this afternoon, Stanford at Syracuse. Syracuse going to work. Syracuse's quarterback, I forgot the guy's first name, but McCord.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of nice.
Syracuse 1-1 versus the spread so far.
Yeah, the one that they did get was the one I was thinking about betting on, and I didn't. So I'm not gonna make the same mistake twice. Syracuse handling business today against Stanford. The other game I'm looking at.
I don't like that one. Just for the record.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay.
This your money. It ain't my money.
The other one that's interesting, and this is a ranked matchup, so you know I like my ranked matchups. I try to give my people, you know, a reason to watch these ranked games and, you know, maybe have some dough on it. Utah is going to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. Utah is number 12 in the nation. Oklahoma State number 14 in the nation. Utah's a 1-point favorite in this game. Now, I kind of like these games, too, because it's almost a toss-up. Like, you don't really have to worry about the spread. It's just, do you think Oklahoma State is going to win, or do you think Utah's going to win?
Mm-hmm.
It's at 1. I don't think Utah, even with Rising coming back or whatever, or Reason coming back, I don't think they go into Stillwater and beat your boy Gundy and the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Why are these coaches on me?
Well, that's just your boy.
Based on what?
I don't think they go into Stillwater.
No liar, Kenny Caraway.
I'm going with Oklahoma State. Give me Oklahoma State +1. It's at 1 now. It's moved around a little bit. It was at 2.5, but it's at 1 now. I'm going with Oklahoma State in that one.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Yeah, I think they're going to get it. Utah, I don't know if they're ready for that just yet. Then the big one, the nightcap. This is a big one right here. Number 6, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Is going to Norman, Oklahoma, number 15 in the nation. Tennessee has been killing. They've been going to work this year. They're a 7-point favorite in this game. It's been trendy. It's been trendy for people to look at Oklahoma and take them. Not for me. I'm going Tennessee. I'm going with my man, Nico I. And I'm just going to call him Nico I because I haven't worked on the last name just yet. But my man, Nico I, is about to go to work. Tennessee's cooking. Give me the Volunteers -7.
And that's
how we're going to cook.
Two of the three games. Something about Syracuse and Stanford leaves me a little uneasy. But, again, it's not my money. So,
if you want some money, you need to listen to your boy. Because
was your record last week?
2-1. That's the one I feel the most confident about.
Really?
The Syracuse and Stanford.
Oh, I feel confident in this. I actually feel confident for you in the second two.
Mm.
I don't think Utah is ready.
Okay.
And, Tennessee is
Tennessee looks today.
Tennessee looks different right now.
They absolutely do. So
it's their biggest challenge of the year, obviously, so far.
Yeah.
But so I should freeze that. It's the biggest challenge so far this year. But
Oklahoma gonna have a little welcome to the SEC type deal.
This is where the big boys play, huh? Look at the adjective. Play. We ain't here to play.
That's a classic one right there. So just to recap, Syracuse -8, Oklahoma State +1, and Tennessee -7. Cash Caraway, got you. And PW916, you heard the three games that I have. All right, I said the three games. I'm not giving you four or five games. I gave you the three games. Okay. What do you need to know about this game in Ann Arbor? That's not on the list.
There's people listening on the radio. Yeah. KC ain't going to mention the USC is going to demolish Michigan. I think it's a fair – you keep ducking these Michigan games.
I gave you the three.
So that $30 I didn't put on Michigan against Texas. I'm glad I didn't do that for the weddings. Just would have missed out. Should I put that $30 on Michigan this week against
USC? This man
USC?
Is paying for a wedding.
Yeah, I have $30 whole. I need to flip this into
– he's working his second shift of the day here. He's got to babysit us. He's trying to talk with Kyle. Can you help him out?
I did help him out. I gave him Syracuse. I gave him Oklahoma State.
His app only allows him to bet on Michigan.
Yeah, I can only put this $30 on Michigan.
I got a different app that you can use.
No, it doesn't work. Bad.
Why don't you just go to Reno?
I'm bad. I have a problem.
Wow. Tahoe.
Wow. Nothing, huh?
I don't know. I haven't researched this. I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't researched enough. I don't know. I don't have any thoughts. I got to look at more film. I don't know what's going to happen.
You sound like Donald Trump an hour into a debate.
I got the concept of
nothing.
I got the concept of a bet.
Can't answer nothing. Wow. Got the concept of a bet. You hear this guy?
I don't know anything about this game. I've been focused on the games I've been studying and getting research. I don't know anything about this game. Don't ask me about it.
Haven't studied this game at all, huh?
No, I just know that it's happening. I don't know anything else about it. I don't know.
Well,
some Michigan fan, huh? Don't even know when his own
the
team.
The Chatty House after party says, WGPFJW, who's going to pay for Jesse's wedding?